to 10. I want to call the Hugh Health Education Welfare Committee budget meeting to order. And with that, I want to ask Ms. Deere if she will give the invocation, please.
Dear God, we thank you for this day. Father, we ask your blessings be upon our nation and upon our people, and we thank you for all the blessings of our lives. Father, we ask your guidance in all that we do, and ask that what we do is to your plan, according to your will and to your plan, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings of life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
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 Hello. Roll call, please.
Johnny Green?
Present.
Joyce Deere?
Present.
Dottie Barnett?
Present.
James Jennings?
Here.
Rufus Scott?
Here.
I'm sure you got 5 present and none absent.
5 present, none absent. Constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. We have no minutes, so we'll go to the order of business. First on the agenda is Human Resources, Dr. Dean Hughes.
Present.
Present.
I have some copies for you, which might help you. I want to make sure we're all on the same page in terms of the. There should be 3 more copies.
And I would like to say that we can make suggestions and we can ask questions, but we cannot, as a committee, change.
Just a couple overall statements concerning the budget and the process of merging the HR Health with the HR Executive Branch. We have increased the budget overall, assumed those responsibilities as well as 4 persons. We'll have increased that budget for a total of $353,049 on that budget. But I'd like to walk you through, it's this back page that shows the breakout, the detail. Very quickly walk you through the increases in each of the categories, and I'll be brief. If there are questions, though, we'd certainly respond to those. On the personnel piece, the salary and wages, that's been increased with the 4 that have been added on the health side by $101,395 over last year's budget. And then correspondingly, the fringe was increased by $58,746. The travel and mileage were just very minorly increased. It was $1,000 in travel. We increased, bringing the health over, and then the mileage was increased by $648. In the supply category, which is the 5,300, we've increased the line to by $9,000 to account for supplies needed for the health piece. Under the other, I'll walk through each of those very quickly, and not many of them we did not increase, some we did. The drug testing we did not increase with the merger of the health, but the background piece we did. OSBI backgrounds we increased by $2,000 in this year's budget. And then on the physical piece, we also increased them by $2,000. Conference and seminars, there was no increase. On the software licenses, that's the largest piece of increase, because on the health budget, they had in their budget all of the Paycom costs for health, as well as the LaserFish costs. So that totals to $150,000 for those 2 pieces. That's why that large increase. Membership, there was no increase. Publications, we didn't increase anything there. On the printing piece, there was no increase. The advertising, which is the 5,327, we have increased by $20,000. We hope to do some additional advertising for the health and some recruiting as well, but our advertising budget is a huge piece that we have to do for all the positions that are posted. On the equipment lease, there was just a $6,000 increase that they had accounted for on the health side, and then on the equipment repair and then the contract under $5,000, there's no increases on those categories. Under the building operations maintenance, there was some off-site leasing that is done for health for $1,200, we increase by that amount. And then there is a cell phone cost under the telephone piece that we increase by $1,000. Then totaling $353,049 for this year's budget, we're asking to be approved. The second piece of our budget is the gaming piece. Fund, it should be on the very, I think it's the very back page of the document handed out, and it is the employee incentive awards. Prior year, we had $5,500 that we had had asked for and budgeted, but due to the issues with health and some funding, we this past year had assistance from the public relations, the second chief and chief's budgets to fund that, and that cost was somewhere right around over $9,000. So we're asking you to allow us to increase this incentive award. There's 129 people, I think, recognized at the banquet this past spring. So we think $10,000, and that's an increase of $4,500 for that budget to be able to fund that employee incentive. That number varies in terms of the numbers we recognize, but we think that will catch it. And if not, we'll go begging to chief and second chief and those budgets as well, if need be. Overall, there was an initial budget in health of $508,000, I think, and by pulling it over, and we think combining some costs, we're basically looking at saving probably $160,000. So that total on the front page is $1,166,992 for the HR functions for 2017.
Okay, open for questions. Vernon.
So by combining with the health department for their HR services, what does that look like as far as location of those employees and their direct supervision? Will they be moving to the Combs building? Will you guys be moving wherever they are? What does that look like?
The plan is that we have some space. We've actually did not replace two individuals on our site, so we're down to seven employees, including myself. And so we have three spots. We're looking for one more, and we think we can find that spot so that everyone will be sitting on our campus, and that will assist in that that shift, that merger.
Thank you.
Questions? Ms. Beer? Roll call vote, please.
You need a motion.
Motion to.
Motion from Jennings for two passes. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Barnett. A roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Let me show you got four in favor and zero against.
Four in favor, zero against. That budget is approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, committee.
Next is Veterans Affairs, Ken Davis. Do you have anything to
Change from last year, and following orders from Chief Floyd, he said to maintain budget, lower budgets. We came down last year $11,846. All the report on that. Not we did what we could, and I think we're completely safe this year. Been no budget supplements, so we're good to go.
Yes, you did. Come down a bit. Are there any questions?
Make a motion to approve.
Motion by Ms. Barnett to approve the budget. Second by Representative Jennings. A roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got four in favor and zero against?
Four in favor, zero against. That budget is approved. What else? Next is Citizenship Board, Nathan Wilson.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
First of all, I know there was some questions about our budget with our Schedule A for our board. So what I did is I wrote a little memo because it was an error on my part. I put the current salaries as what it was 4 years ago for some reason. I didn't realize that. So the board has not gotten an increase since 2014. So the same salary has been the same since then. So I have these if you guys want them to show that that was done. So. Like I said, that was an error on my part. I've submitted so many budgets and kind of. And we did do a 10% cut across the board on our budget. So you notice we don't have travel anymore. Travel is completely out of our budget. So.
So with the travel piece, is that where your mileage comes in if you do your remotes, like if you're asked to, I guess you don't?
We just, the mileage will still be there. So we can do probably the local remotes, but as far as going outside and having to do anything else, we're not going to be able to do that.
Sure. Okay. So is local remotes meaning like in the boundaries in Oklahoma City?
Or? Yes. We go to Oklahoma City. We're actually going to Holdenville tomorrow. We go to Wetumpka. We've been doing some schools here local. So that stuff like that won't be affected. But as far as us going out, we did have one scheduled for Dallas and for us to go to Kansas, which we're not going to be able to go now. They were wanting to set one up. And then, of course, California. So stuff like that, we're not going to be able to attend those travels.
Intertribal.
Intertribal, we have no travel. So We do have some money into our program income that we plan on. What we can try to do is something like that with intertribal that we're going to try to attend, or some of that stuff we're going to try to move over to do some of that travel that's really needed for us to do. Some travel gets expensive, especially with California. It's a really expensive travel for us to go do that one. We service a lot of people when we go up there, so.
You've made a tremendous cut in a lot of your line items.
We have.
Is there any more questions?
Motion by
Representative Jennings to approve. Second by Representative Deer. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got four in favor and zero against.
Four in favor, zero against. Budget for citizenship.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is the election board, Ms. Harjo.
Just has a 10% that we were supposed to cut. We cut down on some travel, cut down on some mileage, and the election expenses. The election expenses is the line item where we pay our precinct workers for the training and working that day. We pay their mileage and their stipend out of that. And we cut in on our contractor, which is because it was a little higher last fiscal year. That was due to the chief election. This time it's council election.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I just have one question. So the board meetings, what you have budgeted is 50 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Is that average, or is that like worst case scenario, and sometimes you don't meet that much?
Worst case scenario, but that's what it says in our in the Constitution, that we are allowed up to 50 meetings, but most time we don't meet those 50 meetings. But most of the meetings we have are during when we're getting ready for the elections.
Sure. So, in an election year, how many meetings would you have out of it, do you think? Just guess, right? I'm going to hold you to a specific
number. Okay, I'll say about. I know we probably meet three or four times before an election. I'd say about 30 altogether in
sure.
an election year.
Sure. Okay, thank you. I couldn't hear that.
There.
What did you say?
Probably about 30 during an election year.
Are there any questions?
Do you have any comments on your program?
Yeah, any comments?
On your program budget?
Yeah, I don't have any comments. I'd like to raise. No.
I haven't had one
for years.
Okay. Well, the first thing I see on this program budget
mm-hmm.
is you still have Ms. Tiger listed as your chairman.
Yeah, that should have been taken off.
Right.
It's Angela Diane Nixon.
Okay. Right.
Are there more questions? Ms. Beard?
What does the contractual consist of?
That's the people that help do our elections, that bring in the machines and everything.
How are they selected?
We've used them for several years, and their company is everything that we need. Now there's some companies out there that do not do there's some companies that don't have machines for precincts and all that, but they do. And there's some companies that don't do training or anything like that. We train our workers, but they also train them in the machines and everything. And some companies don't do that, so they have everything that we need.
So you've had other vendors come to you?
Yeah, we've had other vendors.
To consider that.
Yeah, we even had one that said they pay for the people to vote, and I said, no, we don't do that.
Any more questions?
Mm-hmm.
No. For a motion.
Motion do pass.
Motion by Jennifer do pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Deer. Roll call vote, please.
Dody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Trudy got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved.
Okay. Thank you.
I vote. Next is the College of the Muscogee Nation, Dr. Albert Bible.
It's not doctor, though. Yeah. About halfway.
Oh, okay. Halfway.
Almost practitioner.
Almost
practitioner. Okay. We're not, of course, asking for any increases. We cut our budget by $374,359. Previous year was $424,000, so we've cut our budget almost $800,000 the last 2 years. Enrollment's going up. We have other needs, but we're maintaining it by supplement with other grants is how we're maintaining our budget. So.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
I do.
Jenny?
And it's on 5520, the telephone.
Yeah, the telephone, we have, you know, we're trying to transition away from the tribe to our independence. And so one way to save them money was the phone budget. We've gone out on our own with AT&T and our internet. And we were paying $1,400 a phone line, which come up to, I think, over $100,000. We're getting the same service now for probably about half of that. And so that was one way we were looking at saving money. I think we had like 87 phone lines or 90 times, so if you do the math on that, so we were able to get a rate. And so once we get our accreditation in the next 60 to 90 days, finally then we'll take over our email from the tribe as well. We'll be on the EDU, so.
Is that all, Mr. Kings?
Any questions?
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved.
Thank you.
So. Next is risk management. Phil Booker.
$56,607. Only thing we didn't reduce on the line item for insurance for general liability, property, and auto.
Questions? Questions?
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. But budget passes.
Two more. Okay. Which one will do?
Emergency management.
It's by law, so it's that same year in, year out.
Yeah.
Motion for due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for due pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved.
Thank you. And then ARPA care, we've reduced it $86,160. Hopefully we can survive on that. I mean, it's about as low as we can go on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got 6-year-old equipment, so it's starting to, you know, and we're talking high-dollar equipment, your chippers and your bucket trucks and stuff. So we're maintaining them right now, but we hope they'll hold out for a little bit.
I know they've done a great job in our community.
Oscar is here. He came with us. I know they've been busy, busy.
Yeah. We appreciate it. Questions? Entertain a motion.
Motion for due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. A second. Second by Representative Deere. Roll call vote, please.
Stoney Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Change up 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. Budget is approved.
Appreciate it.
Have a
good day.
Next is Secretary of Education and Training, the Anderson.
In reviewing this year's budget, we do have a reduction of $42,000 directed by administration. Most of that is identified in our staffing. We went from 5 to 4, and presently we have 3 of those 4 filled. Everything else is pretty much the same within our office. We did re-identify the position that was the administrative manager to a special projects coordinator, because we do have several grants that are on the horizon that we possibly be able to make some additional help in that department. So we did keep that in place while we remained the position.
So for the SG9 administrative assistant position, was that a change in personnel that warranted a different salary, or is that a salary increase?
I believe what we did with that one was when Denise left, that left a void in some of the responsibilities. We shifted those to that administrative assistant, gave her additional duties, increased her salary. So that left a vacuum as far as responsibilities. I shifted that over to that individual who just picked up that workload.
Questions? Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Stoney Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes.
Thank you.
This is Johnson O'Malley, Regina Key.
I kept my gaming budget at $83,163 this year. Challengeable by $3,000. And that's mainly the changes that got me made in my budgets.
Mm-hmm.
program income decreased by 10,000. Actually, that's the interest that we earn off of our federal money, and so we reduced that by 10,000. And we only use that for supplies.
Oh, okay.
The reason why we could cut our school payments down is we had some carryover money that we're going to use to pay those schools from previous years. So that enabled us to reduce that down for this year. Hopefully, I mean, it won't be that way every year, but for this year we were able to do that.
Manager?
Yep.
Have there been any formal announcements about the recount?
Not yet. Not yet.
When the last time I was in D.C., they're like, oh, we're hearing an announcement, and I'm like, it's August.
2 weeks ago, almost 3, Senator Langford did tell me that he and Senator Tester and Montana was aggressively pursuing that matter. And I've been in contact with their office, and that is, they're approaching it aggressively.
Sure.
I just have a question, and it deals with the budget for the Childers Bowl.
Okay.
And, do you think you can cut that?
Well, last year we did buy some equipment, like microphone system, and we were able to manage within, you know, the $30,000. So we're not planning on buying equipment this year for FY17. Perhaps we might have to upgrade our tablets in years to come, real soon. But the tablets that we use are only 2 years old, so we're hoping to stay within the perimeters of the 27,000.
But it gets bigger every year. I mean,
I know you
get more students. That's why I'm asking.
We may have to start reaching out for donations as well, you know, from different entities to maybe donate to us. But
okay.
This year.
Just
next year. Yeah, thank you.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion up Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Deer. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved.
Thank you.
Next is the Eufaula Dorm. Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, Committee, I'd like to introduce you to our new administrator, Tony York. What a time to meet, huh?
Right.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Mr. York.
He was not in place at the dormitory when this budget was created, so I did the budget and asked him to come and sit in and work through the process. The budget this year is, again, it's 100% federal funds. There is a portion of it that does come from USDA. They did not have that the last couple of years. We are going to go back to the USDA Child Nutrition Reimbursement Program. Also, we do get an additional 80,000 from our interest account for activities and supplies and so forth. There was some changes that you'll see in the personnel line item that they, I think one time they had cultural preservation, something that was unfilled. So we shifted that and added two more educational items. And I think he's going to need to share the count was 35 when we walked in. I believe he's almost 70 right now. So the count's doubled since last semester.
It's usually up higher than the fall, isn't it?
Yeah, we usually have around 80 or 90. But I think they just started school last Thursday. They still have a lot of students coming in. I think he's sitting at 70 today. They're growing by the day. So we're looking for promising things down there.
So how many do you have?
Approximately 70.
70.
Yes, sir.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you're up 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget It's approved. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Employment and training, workforce, supporting Josie.
She couldn't be here, she said.
Yeah. Josie is an incident in Idaho working with the grant program people.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We had cut the funds 54,594, and most of our programs is client services, so like the nursing scholarship, the natural gas, travel grants, and college work experience. And then we have the federal funds of the public law. And all the cuts was just on the non client services. Questions? Through all of this, but I was interrupted by the Olympics.
One question, since everybody's still looking through. The natural gas fund, the compression. Do we just not have any people that sign up for that, or there's...
When we first got it, there was several of them that was in there that we started out with, and they pretty well liked it, and we had one that got a real good job under that, and
John Hobart.
They really enjoyed it, but we just, I guess they're actually just starting in their basics, and then once they decide, they come to see what it's about.
I was just curious, I mean, because like on the CBER report, you've only expended, I mean, I just didn't know if that amount of money was still warranted, or, I mean, I guess it just goes back in the charter if you're not using it anyway, but
I'm just curious. We have, I think she said we have at least 3 or 4 on there right now.
Sure.
And we told the tuition and, give them a stipend.
I was just curious, because like every year when it comes through, we don't use all.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if it was recruiting or if it was just people not knowing that it's there and that you're qualified for it, or what that,
I think they pretty well get it, I think, from the school, once they, because they know about it, and then they go to us if they're wondering that.
Thank you.
So how many nursing students do you have?
We have... We got two in there right now, but we had five, and just for like now, and we got two in there right now, and there's one that just completed.
Motion for due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Roll call vote, please.
Betty Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved. Thank you. Higher Education, Pete Coker, Jr.
The cuts to the budget were administrative. None of the client services were touched per request by the nation. The higher education giving budget travel was minimized. Mileage, supplies, and fees and advertising were cut. Post-grad budget, the travel was cut. And the telephone and fax machines were cut, but that enabled us to increase our supplies. The doctorate budget, we moved the receptionist position from full-time to part-time. Travel increase due to the reduction in the receptionist position, as well as supplies increase, and then the telephone to help supplement the loss from the loss from the post-grad budget. So it's just, I mean, we're working to have our coordinators keep their phones. And then the emergency scholarship, there were no adjustments as there were no administrative costs.
So currently we don't have any citizens that are receiving doctoral assistance?
There are. So during the summer, we have two currently. Now, there's more than likely more in in queue that's due to us working with their financial aid departments to tie up that loose end for their payments.
So currently, what is your turnaround time from, I mean, your, so let's say just your regular undergraduate assistants, their deadline is June 1st, and so our, I guess what I'm asking is, are we going to start getting calls here in about 3 or 4 weeks about, I didn't give them a...
from what I understand, those calls will happen, but with that being said, you know, October 1st is when we have been advising students on when our awards are distributed. And we worked out to make clear whether it's us visiting high schools or universities. We worked to say, you know, really ask and impress the students that they must file FAFSA for obvious reasons, continue scholarships. And then we've been working with the Office of PR to really build up those kind of resources available on our website so that we can have them directed in a website that they can use as a resource. But the coordinators, when we do get those calls, do advise the students that October 1st is the date due to the fiscal year. And that's the reason why we try to prep them as a normal student, you know, expect to fill out FAFSA and so on.
So is there a deadline after October 1st for when, so just to have a frame of reference, how many applications did you receive for fall assistance for undergraduate?
So I we will have right around, we always average right around 1,400 to 1,500. So that kind of cycles back, you know, you're exiting graduates or exiting students off the program and then bringing that, so that that number has maintained.
That's per semester?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jerry, would you have an idea off the top of your head, new applicants per year?
About 300
in addition to what we already have. So it averages out between around 2,000 with all the students. Okay. So it, as far as an award and stuff, those kind of leveled off to.
So at this point, you have 1,400 to 1,500 students who have received a letter saying you've been approved and you'll get your money after sometime after October 1st.
No, there's two steps. They will receive a clarification letter if they have submitted all their information. Now that's the first step, is they submit their online app and the documentation required per policy. And then the second letter, which will come out after on October 1st and forward, will be their award letter. Now once they receive their award letter at home, they will typically receive their award 2 to 4 days later.
So if I'm a student and I haven't heard from you guys or haven't gotten any money by October 15th, then I should give you a call, or?
Certainly. Students are more than happy to call us at any time. Yes.
I was just curious. And then, so is there no way for your website to be responsive to say, hey, your application has been successfully submitted, we got it, way to go?
Well, that's through our automated workflow system, and that's part of the communication that an our department has been working with to communicate that online. If you don't hear by a certain time, or if you have any remaining questions, please call us. That's communication, regardless of any questions or anything, please call your grant.
Well, even just what I'm asking is like an auto-populated page, because I know you and I had this discussion a few weeks ago about there was a student who said they did their application online. Actually, it was a family that had two students. For whatever reason, one application went through and one didn't. Mm-hmm. And so you know, do you not have the capability to auto-populate a page that says your application has been successfully submitted, so that if you don't see that page, it's a red flag for that student or that family to go, hey, wait a minute, I gotta figure out what I did here because it didn't take.
For the workflow system, right now there's not a page. Now, once they hit submit, I would assume that there would be a page right there saying you will receive an automated response, which without going into too much detail, students do receive that as opposed to the ones that maybe hit exit thinking they conclude their submission. So is it possible? Certainly. And you know, we're working on all fronts to communicate that.
Okay.
Yes.
Alright, thank you.
Steve.
Yes.
What kind of letter or approval did you say they get?
So after they submit their application online, if they submit the online application with all documents, they will receive an email that indicates all documents, everything submitted. Now, if it's incomplete, meaning they are missing documents, not necessarily the application itself, but missing documents, they'll receive an email indicating that it is incomplete and that they will need to follow up with their grant coordinator as well.
But once it's approved, they get a letter saying that they are approved for funding?
On October 1st and forward, as soon as we start processing payments, they will receive an award letter from our department saying that they have been approved, yes, and their money should be in their debit cards 2 to 4 days later.
Because we've got a student that's enrolled, he's already started school, and he won't get his funding until October 1st or after, and he can't even get his books.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their concern, you know. They don't have a letter even to show that they are going to be funded.
Mm-hmm. In times like that, what I've done personally has provided a letter saying that the student has been entered into our system, they're eligible. That doesn't necessarily mean they will receive funding, although, knock on wood, we've been able to give grants to everyone that's come through our program as far as tribal. But, you know, that's a step that I have taken with students to provide to their financial aid. In addition to the letter, we recommend students with cases like that to utilize a special academic needs grant available through education and training. The $500 one-time grant that they would be eligible for as well.
So they can get both?
Yes.
Okay.
But $500 doesn't go very far on the books, does it?
It's a chip on the rising costs. One of the things that's been put on all our radars has been that, at least in the state of Oklahoma, another 70% budget cuts from the state to the universities and colleges. So, unfortunately, it's going to hit our students where it hurts.
So when you do your budget, like this year you're doing it for a full year,
mm-hmm.
It's really not for a full year. Are you including those extra students that she said it goes up every year?
Right now, the projections, let me take a step back. So the budgets per year, this is how much we've been equipped for. The tribal grant has typically, within the past few years, leveled off. Where we've seen a slight increase have been the master's level grants. So we are projecting to continue seeing that same number of undergraduates for the tribal grants. So that's been the trend for this year and moving forward. I'm sorry. That was a really wordy response. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess what I don't see is you're funded for a full year, but yet these students don't get money until the next fiscal year. So there's not enough money in there then.
Well, the students do receive money for the year for both semesters, as per the travel grant. If they are a graduating senior that summer or the following December, they would be eligible for summer funding as funds are available. And if they fall within the $4,500 guideline.
But it's just waiting for that money. They can't get it like...
a lot of students, I feel their pain. I want them to get it as soon as maybe August 22nd, average, right around first day of school, yes. Mm-hmm. But we do have that ability, or we've been pretty trying to expose and build awareness on that they really do need to utilize all funding and capability to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Alameda.
I was going to say, you know, we just have to wait for the appropriations of money, which our fiscal year comes in FY in October. So, yes, the money is appropriated for the whole year, but just up to September and what we can do with the money up until then. And always our new money's coming for the new year. But also, you know, we always have to remind our students these are supplemental money, these are upfront money. And I'm sorry for that, for them, because I know that they need these books and some of these supplies before they start. But yes, we have to work with appropriations that's given to us. Our budgets don't increase, in fact, we're decreasing this year. So, you know, the supplements that you might give us throughout the year, we don't receive those in the next year budget. It would work maybe if we did get those appropriations within those budgets that was given to us. That way we wouldn't be coming back requesting money for those type of things. But if we did, we would know that our programs are good and they need these supplements to their programs. But without the supplements getting included into our programs, no, there won't be enough money. It'll just run to the very end like it's supposed to until the appropriation comes in.
Well, is there a way that they could even just get a letter saying, you know, that they can charge their books? Because
right
that's
now,
another problem.
Yeah, there's another problem right there because for sure we don't know if they're going to get these money or not. You know? We're in your hands, but really, we don't know if we're going to get these monies or not. And we can't, you know, if we're having a decrease, then we can't promise the students something that they may not get.
That's why the letter that I sent it says eligibility, but not necessarily a promise. No, and we fall flat on our faces, and the student is shortchanged.
Well, we've also been told, and you said that they could apply for these supplemental funds, that that's double dipping and that's not allowed. That's illegal. That's what we've been told.
As far as what I understand, the special academic needs is a one-time grant, and right now I don't believe there's any, like, as far as the way it's spelled out on the application, that there were no... guideline outlining that if they did this one-time $500 that they couldn't receive our travel grant. Where I saw that they couldn't do was apply for it again or the same kind of request from council. So that's why I understand.
Is that all, Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have the same questions because I asked those same questions like 4 years ago because it really would only take, $400,000 to get ahead of it 1 year to have that spring and fall funding instead of doing it after. and it's just like never been presented. And like Johnny said, we don't change these, they're just presented to us. So I asked that several years ago, why don't we just
we spent about an hour talking about this yesterday, this very issue with Pete and Jerry. How can we address this issue?
Because if we did it one year, then the next year is just the normal amount. It would just take the extra that front year. It's really simple, but it's just never been presented to us. Just throwing it out there. I mean, I know everybody's cut their budget. I know, but man, I mean, you know, and I know Jerry and I have had this discussion before, because I get really frustrated because I don't even like the term supplemental funds. I hate it. I'll tell you, I hate it, because when you have a kid in college, nothing is supplemental. You're juggling, you're spinning the plates, and you are trying to cover everything that needs to be covered by the deadlines that need to cover them. And, you know, we have kids who are eligible for this money who have to take out loans because they're waiting on us. And then we gripe about student loan debt when we're the one causing it because we don't give them the money in time. And so that is very frustrating for me as a citizen, not even just being on this council, but just as a citizen. You know, we're causing this debt for these students. Because if we would just give them the money to begin with, they wouldn't have to pay off those loans. Not all of them, but there's a significant portion. I bet if you polled your clients, there would be, and I'm guessing from the people I know that call me and say, hey, we had to take out a loan because we didn't get our money. And I tell them that, you know, it doesn't come through till after October 1st, you know, there's just, you know, and so, but I mean, if you polled your students, I guarantee you it would be at least, like conservatively, it'd be 25% of those students that have to take out those student loans because they don't get our money in time. And that's just a shame, because the people in this room could fix that if we just would. So that's why I was asking. Thank you.
At all.
Oh, Mark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just looking, do you still have money left? $886,000, that's what you guys have left.
In the tribal funds?
Do you usually have money left over?
Yes. All right, I'm going to put a little bit of pressure on you guys. You said you had this discussion. If we table this budget, could this be something that could be fixed for our kids? Like, when I say our kids, I mean that affectionately, our students. They're not all young people. There's non-traditional students too, but for our citizens, is this something that could be fixed in this budget cycle if we table this and put it to a later date?
Are you giving us additional money to do that?
Well, do you have money? I think that's part of the reason why Mark was asking, is if you have money left over, just move it. Right. So maybe we can phase it in that way.
Now you have how many students to get finished before September the 30th.
Sure. Okay. Because this would be for next fall. I mean, we're already where we're at for this fall, right?
I mean, we will be.
Yeah.
But if that's, you know, in the future, yes. But
so is there some kind of tier system that you guys could use to where you cycle in those students, maybe seniors first, upperclassmen first, and then cycle them in and get them their money sooner, and then fold in the freshmen and sophomores in other years so that we don't front the whole cost of that at once? Is that a possibility? But I'm talking about forward, like I'm talking about giving them their money in August, not October. Does that make sense? So if we added those funds, the next year when you go and you take all those applications by June 1st, then you would have extra funds to give those upperclassmen their money by whatever date you guys pick or whatever's realistic. I don't know what that date is. You do. But now it's October. I mean, I understand that you do your upperclassmen first, but now it's October. What I'm talking about is if you have those additional funds next fall to do the earlier date and then maybe the next year had the other half of the funds come in, so you do all your students, all your undergrads by whatever that date is that you guys picked.
That's what I said. If we have that money to begin with the,
sure,
the next fall, then yes, we probably could vote all of them in.
Okay.
By doing that.
Okay, so my question is, do we approve this today, or if we table this, can you guys come back with a resolution in order to do that next fall? This is my question.
To put it on this FY17.
Right, and obviously the administration agrees, but I don't know why we...
So really we just want to incorporate more to the budget this year that would cover funding instead of doing it October 1 next year, we can do it in, say, August 1st.
Right.
Is what you'd like to do.
Sure, or carry over, allow that. I don't know what the terms are.
If there's any way to assure that the money will be there.
Sorry. I'm asking, I don't know.
Okay, so the $886,000 that you have available right now, when will that be paid out?
I'm getting ready to do that now.
So that is going to cover for the fall season. So basically, you need additional, you need, the problem is, the money we don't have right now to up next year's budget to do that. Right now, in higher education, you're asking for 4.16.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you spent $3 million, and that covers your...
So that would be what I would say.
So I see what she's saying. She wants the fall in... She wants the spring and fall.
Fresh. Mm-hmm. Instead of fall and spring.
Right, right. So you could probably bump this up maybe a couple million to get you through the fall.
So we'd be looking at about 2 million approximately?
Right.
Okay.
And then actually the probably best bet is do a supplemental,
mm-hmm,
in the summer. To get it where they can fund these kids, because school's starting right now.
I know, so now.
And October's, you know, that's a ways. And then you gotta think about the penalties they gotta get kicking in for being late,
mm-hmm,
and stuff.
So is this something that maybe we wanna, so
yeah,
we approve the budget, but like maybe we revisit in February,
right,
after we get like a couple,
right,
of payments on interest on the permanent fund, where,
right,
we'd have,
or
some?
Or maybe look at the doctor. I mean, you're talking 1.2 million. These people have their degrees. These kids from high school don't have nothing. These people have jobs. These kids coming from high school to college, they get frustrated because money, you know? And then you tend to lose interest because they're,
sure,
broke.
It's too hard, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, these people in the postgraduate and doctor, they have jobs. These babies coming from high school don't have nothing. I mean, maybe it's something.
The one thing I would caution about post-grad is that that's where a lot of your students accrue loan debt and just debt overall, because there are so limited scholarships at the master's level. There are available, and even with our distribution, they still miss their school debt. And then the doctorate's level, we'll be working with Mr. Anderson on this kind of information to address. But typically, because our distribution came out October 1st, they sometimes, occasionally do take loans, whereas our supplement would address that loan that they took out. So that's how the doctorate program has occasionally worked like that.
But
Pete and I have had the conversation regarding the doctoral program for the 1.2 million, that where is it needed the most, in my opinion, is when they come out of high school. It's when these kids really need that. Most doctoral students have been, or have jobs in the professional field. They're able, and there's scholarships that go out to those universities that recruit these individuals. That may be something we look at, but if you approve the budget now and come back for a supplemental in the spring to make sure that the students are taken care of August 1st. Mm-hmm. I know what happened when we asked for the supplementals this spring. You know, there was some criticism for that, and we assured we didn't want that to happen again. But if this committee wants us to take this approach, we would be happy to address it and work on this issue. But I'm with you, I think, and this is what we talked about yesterday. How can we address this? These kids need money now, not in October.
Also, as well, the people that's like the postgraduate doctor, that they're employed, and most employers pay for their continuing education, just like it comes out of our fringe benefit. So it's like some of us, or some of the employees that go to college that has a job here, they're raking in on a scholarship here and have a job. When this kid is struggling from high school to, I mean, that's, you know, that's Greg's call, but the best thing to get it on track, and I agree with you, is we're going to have to go into a supplemental phase for just there, and then kind of fix it the next budget process. I mean, that
just really make it a difficult year.
Right,
and that, you
because
know.
They're starting school now. I mean, they need the money now.
Thank you. I'm sorry, but I was just trying to.
Are there any more questions?
Right.
That's the right approach.
Okay. Thank you. Motion to approve.
Motion by Ms. Barnett to approve or do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Betty Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. Budget has been approved. Thank you. Second is Scholarship Foundation, Dr. Kosher. This is the original one. New.
Yes, that.
Because I never did have one.
Yeah. It wasn't included.
Okay.
So never.
Okay. Motion by Representative Jennings for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deer. Roll call vote, please.
Betty Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Chair, I got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved.
I just wanted to note that Dr. Coulter did take a salary cut to cut his budget, so thank you, sir.
Is the golf tournament going good?
Yeah.
I think we got 21.2 or something.
Oh, really?
Next is reintegration, Mr. Tony Fish.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. There should be a new one.
So basically what I've done is when prior the first budget that I submitted, at that time we were on track to open our new facility, but since then we've had some issues come up we had to get corrected, so we've had to push back the opening of the new facility. So what I went and did was took off some of those forecasted salaries and reduced them by the number of months delayed that we're going to have to open. And then I also took a hard look at current employees and positions that we have. And I was able to merge two positions into one on the personnel side of things to allow to lessen the impact that we're having. Keeping in mind, we still have to open this facility, anticipating in December. And then I've been able to move money around within the budget to keep it at the current funding level of fiscal year 16. That's actually like $155 less than.
Questions? Mr.
Dennis? So with that being said, Mr. Fish, so you anticipate the facility to be open in December?
Yes, sir. I believe that's according to the schedule. That's, you know, if everything goes like it's supposed to go, you know.
I hope so.
Me too.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Deer. Should I say Mr. Deer? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget approved.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Next is the Muskogee language. Jamona Deer.
Cut the budget like we were asked. During that time we had a vacant position. So when we were asked to cut it again and again, we just took that vacant position out to meet the need, the requirements. So we have 7 staff now instead of 8. We also, whatever we had left, we just kind of moved that around and reduced it like we were told to do. So we met your request, whoever it was.
our summer camp is still well.
That's a different budget. Yeah, we have another budget for that one. Do you want to go over that one?
No, I was just saying it's still going well.
We actually have two camps. We do the immersion summer camp at the Sequoia Lodge for the 7th to the 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that this year. We had 35 students enrolled, but 27 attended for that one. And then usually what's left from this immersion budget, we usually have a children's camp over there at the Dome.
Uh-huh.
And this year we almost ran out of money. We had $300 left from this immersion budget, but we had already advertised to do the children's camp because we had more children for the youth this year than we ever had. So we ran short. Well, we've come down to 300, but we went on ahead and had the children's camp at the Mound. We had 26 students there, and we provided three meals a day. The staff pitched in. We paid for the meals for them so we could have that. The only thing we didn't get to order there, we usually have backpacks and school supplies and a t-shirt for them,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't have enough money to order backpacks or the t-shirts, so they didn't get that. We just went around and asked some of the programs to donate those little sling packs to put the school supplies in, so we did that. And so we managed, and then the food distribution program donated some fruit for us, so they had fruit every day. So we made it work.
Mm-hmm.
Questions?
Steer.
Steer, you said you were lost in a position. What position was it?
That was a multimedia technician. And we have a graphic designer, so he does all of it now, but he didn't get an increase or anything. But he's doing both jobs. He records and he does audio, he does the filming, he does all of our calendars, all the printing, he does everything for us.
I heard, is it true that the employees are going back into the schools, into the classrooms, or?
They're going to the back to the Head Start in the daycares here on campus, and then they'll be teaching the adults over at the housing like they did before. This was before, we had stopped teaching because of the Mayan. We were asked to work with them, so we quit classes and everything to meet the obligations of Mayan of translating the books.
And how many books have you translated this year?
This year we translated 17.
That's for FY16?
This year.
Okay, so you're only working with the Head Starts in Okmulgee? You don't go to any of the other Head Starts?
We don't have enough staff to cover the Head Start. We just have three teachers.
Mm-hmm.
One teaches in Head Start, one teaches in daycare, and then we have one teaches adults. And I'm not sure how many other Head Starts, I think, how many Head Starts? 17? We'd need 17 more teachers to teach or something.
Nine.
We'd need nine more staff to go out if we could, you know, we'd be happy to do that if we could get more staff.
I thought maybe you guys could do like a twice a month thing in the classrooms or something. I didn't mean like full time positions.
Oh, okay.
I just meant like go out a couple of times a month,
mm-hmm.
and do a little bit of language and do some cultural things. And the curriculum for the public schools?
Mm-hmm. That's at the AG's office right now. They're looking at it for the copyrights.
Okay, thank you.
And we will, for the Sequoia Lodge, that's where we usually have our immersion camp. The AG's office told us that we had to have approval through the council to have a contract with them because it's a state entity, a state
mm-hmm.
Park.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at the AG's office too. So we'll be coming back through for that later.
Questions?
I just have a question that doesn't involve this budget. So you have a revolving account, you know, when you sell your seed. So what do you have in that? Could you tell us?
I don't know what we have in there right now. I don't check on it all the time. It took us about 5 years to have $4,000 in there, so we'll be lucky if we have $100 in there. I don't know.
Okay.
But I can check it for you and find out.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Deere. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Marion Cherry got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against, but budget passes.
Is that for both of them?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, whatever.
Thank you. Next is Head Start, Cora Cameron.
Our budget did increase due to the federal government gave us $40,464 increase for a 1.8. And then so we did increase our 20% match by $10,116. Other than that, that's the only changes that's been made to the budget.
Thank you, Roger.
And
talk to me about your buses.
Our buses are breaking down left and right. They're old. We're babying them along, getting them in the shop. They've all been serviced, oil changed. Yesterday, they were doing bus routes, and this bus just got out of the shop, and I walked outside, and they were jumping it. And it's one of the buses that's going on bus route. And so I think there's wiring messed up on that bus because they didn't have the lights on, but the lights were on. And so I'm thinking that's what ran the battery because I was like, you left the lights on. And they're like, no, the lights are off. And so they jumped it and drove it down to Fleet.
So how many buses do you have total?
We have 12 buses that's on a route in the morning and in the afternoon. We have 5 buses that's sitting down here that need salvaged. And we have a disability bus in the parking lot that will have to be towed down there to see what's wrong with it. I do want to thank you for the 2 buses, though. We got one sitting out in the parking lot. If you would like to go and look at it and look at the harnesses that come installed with it, all we're waiting on is it to be paid. They sent it, and then they never send us the invoice. And so we're just waiting to get that invoice, and then we'll get the insurance and tag on it. And we get the other bus the end of October, 1st of November. So we'll have 3 good buses.
Out of 12.
Out of 12.
Now, I know you wrote a grant asking for 3 more buses?
3 buses and 3 playgrounds, because our playgrounds are also 50 plus or 30 plus years old.
When do you find out about?
Should be any time. Our performance standards is changing, so all of our program specialists start in a 3-day training, and then they're having trainings after that to let us know what the performance standards have changed, so we'll all have to get trained in the new performance standards. So I'm assuming once they get back to the office out of these trainings, then I should have known something about the time funding.
How many of your 12 buses are dependable?
3.
The 3.
3. There's 2 that they're all in the late 1900s, early 2000. They've got 100,000 plus miles on them. I had that paper I was going to bring, but it had the total miles that we drive a day, and our buses are on bus route for an hour in the morning. They leave at 8
and they get back at 9. Bus routes depend on where our parents live.
Sure.
Sometimes there's a meeting point. None of them broke down today, or today's first day of school.
Yeah.
So I didn't get any calls. But the heat, the air conditioners don't work on them. They blow, but they don't cool, and the heaters doesn't either.
Corey, can I add that the chief, second chief, and myself went down to their in-service training, and we had the opportunity to tour the buses ourselves in the parking lot. And they're from the 1990s, a lot of miles, and it doesn't sit well with any of us to put our kids in these vehicles. When I saw them, you know, you think about them. These guys are false driving the roads to support them all over the place, a lot of traffic. I think this is something we need to address as soon as possible.
I would have liked to have put at least a bus or two on the budget, but, you know, I can find a way to do that too. But, I mean, if at all possible, we could get some more buses. But I can let you know as soon as I hear from the one-time funding.
James.
Thank you. You don't run the buses, though, when you don't have the air conditioners on there either.
Yes, they're running. It's the only way our children get to school. It's blowing, but it's not cold air. Now, at 100 degrees, yeah, I mean, if it's too hot, we'll let the parents know. They can, you know, bring them and pick them up. But it does affect our attendance.
Well, that's what I'm referring to. It has happened in the past because I'm one of those.
Yes, you know, yes. But one of the federal requirements is that our children are there 85% of the time. That's like you're only allowed to miss one day a week or so many, you know, a month. And, you know, it hinders our attendance to where we're having to do plan of actions and stuff like that. So I did put that in our grant. I've revised our grant goals as well. To address attendance, you know, if we could at least get 2 buses a year, then we could improve attendance. Mm-hmm. And then within 3 years, we would have 100% attendance increase, which our children are going to also not just improve attendance, they're going to improve their school readiness skills, their goals. Because being at school every day, you're learning, and if you're missing school, then you're not there to learn, And that's what Head Start's about, is school readiness, getting the children prepared for it.
So even if we get that grant for the other 3 buses, we have 7 buses we still need to buy.
Yes. One bus is $58,000. 2 buses is $117,000.
You did get a better deal through Fleet?
That's who we got it through. We got all of our quotes from Fleet. And you're welcome. I would really love for you to go look at our buses, the harnesses, and it has a post-trip button to where no child could be left on the bus, because when you park and you turn it off, if you don't go back and push the button, it'll just start honking and stuff. So we do pre and post trip, or, you know.
Motion
by Ms. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
A second.
Second by Ms. Deer. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That's what it's approved.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next is Tribal Employment Rights Office, Mr. Stacy.
All right, first I start off by we cut our budget $100,000 from last year to this year. And the way we did that is we transferred from our gaming budget to our Big Tarot budget. That's the only thing coming out of the gaming budget right now are salaries, fringe, injury costs, and telephones. If you want the Schedule A, the first line, that is going to be subject to change. I can go up to there now, we don't know.
That's the only thing I had circled.
So my overall goal is, if we are approved for the $72,000, which I know is the proposed, I'm going to take that leftover salary, excuse me, and use part of my Big Tarot budget to try to hire another compliance officer so we have more enforcement. And I'll also take the salary from the SG10 Tarot Compliance Monitor, and I will disperse that as well to other salary.
How long have you been with Tara?
I'm going on 4 years now.
Because I never saw you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm always busy. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Questions? Any kind of motion?
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Dierpert to pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Dana Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dier?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Last but not least is the UG language.
Grievous.
Good afternoon to all of you.
Good afternoon.
This year, our budget has decreased $54,354 from last year. We had a really good program this past year. The fall semester, I believe we had like 27 kids enrolled, and then we increased to 38 during the spring semester. And then we had a 10-week summer program where we had the kids 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, and we had 38 kids enrolled. And it was a really good program. Kids really enjoyed it, and we had some students that they could only come every now and then during the school year because where they live in Bristol. Mm-hmm. We had one little girl in particular, but she was able to come full time during the summer, and that girl picked up UG language and loved it. You know, it's great to see those kids embrace our language. Wow. That they do, and boy, she was always willing to jump up, want to use it every chance she got, talking. I hated that she's not going to be able to come to the fall. Our fall program starts next Monday. We're already starting to receive applications. So I'm looking forward to another good season, another good year.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Starting the 23rd, we will be going into the Sepulpa school systems, and they're allowing us to come in just on a trial basis now to see. We'll be in 2 days a week teaching the UG language, just to kind of see how it's going to go.
Which schools?
Oh, we're at Sepapah High School.
At the high school?
Yes.
Awesome. Through Janice class or just in the?
Yeah, through Janice class, yeah.
Awesome.
So she's allowing us to have, you know, 2 hours a week.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's to me, it's a really big plus. I mean, because 10 years ago, I was trying to get us in there, and now we're finally getting out there. You know, so.
Everything working out at the community center?
Yes, it is. It's gotten to be known as the UT Language Learning Center now. Nobody really even calls it the community center now. So we've got a sign up there out front. So.
Ms. Jennings.
I just want to, before we make the motion, I just want to say, you know, thank you to Lester and to your staff. I know it's a rough transition, and we knew it would be, but you know, the end game was always the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know I appreciate, and I'm sure everyone else does too, just the heart that you and your staff have for the kids, because that's really what it's all about.
Yes. I really have a staff that the heart is in, really in into teaching our language to the kids, passing it on.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate my staff. You know, I have a good staff, you know.
Make a motion to approve.
Motion by Ms. Barnett to do pass. Second. Second by Mr. Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved.
Thank you so much. God bless all of you.
Thanks.
And that.
Yeah. Thank you, young lady, for the job that you did.
Madam Chair, may I just say that since coming here, I'm just really appreciative and would like to pass on the level of commitment from the managers that we have down in the Department of Education Training. So we're really happy with the job they're doing, the effort they put out. They're a very good group to work with, and I just want to share with you that they're all remarkable.
Oh. Thank you. I think they all are too. Is there any other business? Announcements? BF&J is meeting at 6.
There will be a BF&J budget meeting at 6. And then at 6:30 will be the BF&J regular scheduled monthly meeting.
Do you know more announcements? The motion for adjournment. Motion by Ms. Jennings for adjournment. Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Deer. Roll call. Roll call vote, please. I already said.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. We are adjourned. I would like to ask a person to, I don't know if he would give us that. Benediction, please.
Lord, thank you for another day. For your many blessings, Lord.